CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. We go immediately to news from China about doing business in China and worldwide. You may have noted on October 7th, the Biden administration put prohibitions on many directions of the microchip world. And what does that mean for the United States, for Europe, for everybody outside of China? According to Newsweek, Lam Research, which is a heavily traded and much favored company in the U.S. in semiconductors, estimates that it will lose between $2 billion and $2.5 billion in annual revenue in the calendar year 23 because of the Biden administration decision on export curbs. The Dutch semiconductor equipment supplier ASM International says that this affects 40% of its sales in China, and that the China right now, it doesn't have any other way of expressing its anxiety to say that China is 16% of its equipment sales in the first 9 months of this calendar year. So I welcome Chris to comment on the scale of this prohibition and what China, how China is reacting so far from China 2025 prospects to be a standalone maker of high-end technology. This looks like they're going backwards. Chris, a very good evening to you. Is China responding to this in some fashion that suggests that it understands the scale of it and that it must change its business plan? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, you're starting to see Chinese government officials, specifically Foreign Vice Minister Yi Feng, describing the efforts as the suppression of China and being counterproductive. The Chinese are now criticizing the U.S. actions, criticizing things like the U.S. CHIPS Act to reshore semiconductor manufacturing and expand that here in the U.S. So I think it is 100% accurate to say this is having a very significant impact in two ways. One, the Biden administration has effectively kneecapped a tremendous amount of production in China of semiconductor. Number two, you're now seeing firms all around the world, U.S. firms, South Korean firms, Taiwanese firms, German firms, or others that are all now starting to pull out of China for semiconductor manufacturing because they do not wish to be associated with any of the companies that the Biden administration has put on this watch list, 31 entities that effectively are being banned from U.S. entities doing business with, and that's now translating to foreign companies. So the Biden administration has taken a very interesting move here in starting this chip war. How that impacts the global economy and what the repercussions will be is yet to be seen.
Another aspect of the prohibition, I follow the reporting in Newsweek, at Advanced Microfabrication Equipment China, AMEC, which is one of the China's largest semiconductor equipment manufacturers. Seven executives, including the founder and chairman, Gerald Yin, hold U.S. citizenship, and therefore they must leave China or forfeit their citizenship, theoretically. That hasn't happened yet. So pulling American citizens out of China at the same time, what does that mean for China's ability to grow on its own, Chris? Or do they have the homegrown talent that is necessary to maintain this high end?
It makes it very, very, very difficult. And it's not simply high end. The administration expressed concern relative to very advanced chip nodes that could be used in military or simulator or other use cases, but also just more generic chip making. So what this really represents is a trade war to effectively be able to bring that Chinese semiconductor manufacturing industry to its knees. With semiconductor manufacturing, it is truly a global effort. There are many, many steps in that process. The way to be successful in that process is to buy the best tools and the best process engineers to make each of those steps as efficient and effective as possible. That's a global effort. So for the Chinese being able to say, hey, we wish to decouple or we're going to build our own industry natively, can that be done? Yes, but that might take decades. And when you see U.S. discussion of companies like TSMC, the Taiwanese coming to the U.S. Chip making is as much art as science when you get to very, very advanced semiconductor manufacturing. It's not something that's trivial to learn. And in many cases, even large U.S. companies have failed to be able to compete with some of the most advanced companies out there. So there's no guarantee of success, and you might spend hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars to try to compete. So it's an economic racing the train scenario.
I wonder how this chip wars, these prohibitions, connect with another incident that's been in the news these last several days. Young people said to be migrant workers at the Foxconn manufacturing complex in interior China, not on the coastline, climbing fences to escape what they fear to be a COVID lockdown imminent in their dormitories, fleeing on the roadways, walking with their backpacks. It looks very much like people voting with their feet, but this is the manufacturer of the iPhones that I'm looking at right now. The Apple supply chain is damaged by this, or at least threatened by this. Now, that's not necessarily chip making only. That's the consumer product that is most desired out of China for American use and international use. Does this connect to the general understanding that the Chinese business plan is broken, not just because they didn't secure chip manufacturing, but also because they've been abusing their own citizens routinely? And the citizens are saying, we will not tolerate this. So is the business plan antique? Is it understood as no longer working?
Yeah, so John, you have two things going on here. With the Biden administration restrictions that were put in place, that has not yet begun to impact supply chain relative to chip and chip manufacturing. It will maybe in the next 90, 120, 180 days, you'll start to see the potential for more shortages, for more disruptions, product delays, et cetera. So there will most certainly be an impact there. As it goes to things such as Foxconn and manufacturing or other manufacturing use cases, you're seeing the model that's starting to break up where in some of these massive plants where COVID is being used against people to force them to lock down, to quarantine in plant, people are saying, hey, we've had enough, and voting with their feet and simply leaving. In many of these factories, the conditions are not ideal, and it should be somewhat distressing for the average consumer to understand where their products are being made and the conditions that many of these laborers are under. But the laborers are simply saying, hey, if I cannot work, I do not get paid. If I do not get paid, I do not eat. So I'm out of here, and they're voting with their feet.
And the question now, looking at it from the U.S. point of view, have our manufacturers accounted for this? Are they adjusting now? How soon can they adjust to the fact that China is no longer a reliable partner?
You're seeing rapid expansion of facilities in Singapore, in Malaysia, in Vietnam, in Philippines, and other areas, but that takes multiple years. So all of this will not resolve quickly, but there are many major moves, many new investments outside of China, and you are truly seeing at the consumer electronics industry a global decoupling from that Chinese supply chain. I think maybe that we've learned our lesson that having that ultra lean, single threaded manufacturing channel is dangerous to U.S. interests, and now you're starting to see more diversification and change. China will still be there. China will still likely be a key piece in that machine, but will no longer be the exclusive piece.
Protectionism starts wars. Right now, does China have an answer? I see mumbling around the edges that China can, for example, cut out the rare earth shipments to the U.S. Is that an adequate response, or does that mean escalation?
It would mean escalation, and it would probably boomerang back on the Chinese front because the Chinese economy has been destabilized year to date, and you have unemployment, you have friction locally. If China were to isolate itself from the world and say, we're taking our toys and going home, they most certainly can do that, but the economic impact on China would be devastating potentially, and would likely lead to further civil problems because of that unemployment or because of the economic challenges.
And Chris, did you see anticipation? You have business on the mainland. Did you see anticipation by your colleagues or your competitors, did they know this was coming? Because the word of mouth works well in a closed culture like China.
It's been very surprising the last kind of 2 to 2.5 years. Prior to COVID, China was a very business positive, business forward looking, an environment whereby which the success of all was based on the success of business. And in many cases, the Chinese communists were better capitalists in many areas of industry. That now seems to be frayed and breaking further, where maybe that was simply a mirage. And whether it be domestic debt, whether it be some of these bad labor conditions, whether it be governmental challenges within China, China is no longer the top place in the world to be able to build a lot of technology. And now that is at risk for the future.
Yes. And the Chinese business plan, is it being knocked, to your understanding, by Europeans and others who are involved in this? Chairman Schulz is visiting in Beijing. Does Germany get this, Chris?
Germany gets it, and Germany uses China. China is a very large customer of Germany for advanced manufacturing tools. However, any country is being put in the place by the U.S. administration to say, choose China or choose the U.S. You can pick one. Because the U.S. economy is so much larger, U.S. will win that 99 out of 100 times.
Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.